101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty. Obviously, I was already in bed by the time Jimmy Kimmel came on.
Mm-hmm.
I did turn it on this morning. The ABC in his show posted his entire monologue, which was about 25 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go through most of it. There were some moments where I thought he might have felt bad.
Yes.
He never apologized.
No, no.
He never offered any apology. And he never, Aaron, he never looked inward and said, maybe this is my fault.
Maybe I should change what I'm doing.
And he never acknowledged that the root of the issue is your ratings. It's not government dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he still is propagating that narrative that it's the government shutting him down.
I did love that he said, my ratings will be higher than they've ever been tonight. I'm like, yeah, you're right, bud.
Yeah, he did say, well, they are tonight.
Yeah.
And we said that yesterday. He'll have the highest ratings tonight that he'll ever have.
Let's see how they are tonight.
And then they'll go back down.
Yeah, back down.
Because he's going to, I guarantee you, it's not going to be a matter of days to where he's not back being hateful.
Right.
And spiteful.
Yeah.
And just full of hate. And the American people don't want to hear it.
Right, right. You're so true. It's so right. And I watched it this morning. I taped it last night, but obviously I was asleep too. Mm-hmm. But I got up and watched it this morning. I just watched the monologue part. I was curious about the guests. Sarah McLachlan was on and some other movie star was on that I wasn't familiar with.
Okay.
He's got a new show. Didn't watch any of that. I just watched the monologue. The opening was funny. He's dressed in a little furry suit and kind of watching all the headlines about him.
And I thought missed that.
I thought that was kind of cute.
That wasn't on this segment that I saw.
I thought this was kind of cute. It was right in the opening before he started the monologue and before they even introduce him. So I thought that was kind of cute.
Now,
you know?
I did pull some clips. Now, look, this is very edited.
Mm-hmm.
This is about 4.5 minutes of him from last night. And yes, it is edited, but it's for time and what he was saying.
Right.
And a lot of the applause from the crowd that went on for a while. So here's a little bit of the Kimmel return.
Anyway, as I was saying before I was interrupted, if you're just joining us, we are preempting your regularly scheduled encore episode of Celebrity Family Feud to bring you this special report. I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm not sure who had a weirder 48 hours, me or the CEO of Tylenol. It's been overwhelming. I've heard from a lot of people over the last 6 days. I've heard from late night hosts in other countries, from Ireland and from Germany. The guy in Germany offered me a job. Can you imagine? This country has become so authoritarian, the Germans are like, come here. Cut loose. I also want to thank all of you. I want to thank the people who don't support my show and what I believe, but support my right to share those beliefs anyway. Like Ben Shapiro, Clay Travis, Candace Owens, Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, even my old pal Ted Cruz, who, believe it or not, said something very beautiful on my behalf.
I hate what Jimmy Kimmel said. I am thrilled that he was fired.
Oh, wait, no, not that. The other part.
But let me tell you, if the government gets in the business of saying, what you, the media, have said, we're going to ban you from the airwaves if you don't say what we like, that will end up bad for conservatives.
I don't think I've ever said this before, but Ted Cruz is right. He's absolutely right. This affects all of us, including him. I mean, think about it. If Ted Cruz can't speak freely, then he can't cast spells on the Smurfs. Even though I don't agree with many of those people on most subjects, some of the things they say even make me want to throw up. It takes courage for them to speak out against this administration, and they did, and they deserve credit for it. And thanks. for telling your followers that our government cannot be allowed to control what we do and do not say on television, and that we have to stand up to it. I've been hearing a lot about what I need to say and do tonight, and the truth is, I don't think what I have to say is going to make much of a difference. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. I have no illusions about changing anyone's mind. But I do want to make something clear because it's important to me as a human. And that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man. I don't think there's anything funny about it. I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion, and I meant it. I still do. Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. That was really the opposite of the point I was trying to make, but I understand that to some that felt either ill-timed or unclear, or maybe both. And for those who think I did point a finger, I get why you're upset. If the situation was reversed, there's a good chance I'd have felt the same way. I have many friends and family members on the other side who I love and remain close to, even though we don't agree on politics at all. I don't think the murderer who shot Charlie Kirk represents anyone. This was a sick person who believed violence was a solution, and it isn't. Ever. This show is not important. What is important is that we get to live in a country that allows us to have a show like this. Countries like Russia, countries in the Middle East, who tell me they would get thrown in prison for making fun of those in power, and worse than being thrown in prison. They know how lucky we are here. Our freedom to speak is what they admire most about this country. And that's something I'm embarrassed to say I took for granted until they pulled my friend Steven off the air and tried to coerce the affiliates who run our show in the cities that you live in to take my show off the air. That's not legal. That's not American. That is un-American. Should the government be allowed to regulate which podcasts the cell phone companies and Wi-Fi providers are allowed to let you download to make sure they serve the public interest? You think that sounds crazy?
Yeah!
See, he's still going on about it's all the government.
Right.
It's all the government. Now, I do not like some of the comments that the FCC chairman has made.
Right.
I don't agree with it. I don't think that's right. Jimmy Kimmel has the right to be as hateful and critical as he wants to be.
Right.
The American people have the right not to watch.
Exactly. And those affiliates have the right not to air his show.
Right.
If they don't think it's making money for them, if they think it offends their base, they can not play it.
And if it comes out unequivocally that the government did try to or has tried to coerce these affiliates, that's not right.
It's not.
And I'll be the first to say it. But I don't think it's the government. I think it's their advertisers and their viewers that have said, you know what, this is not for us.
This isn't, we don't want this.
And the affiliate groups like Sinclair and Nexstar have said, this doesn't represent what our viewers want and what our advertisers want.
Right.
Which is the key.
Yep, absolutely.
Because when the money goes away, that's when the show goes away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what happened, even though he's trying to martyr Colbert and say he's another victim of the government tyranny. It's not true.
The truth of this, Mike, is Jimmy Kimmel worth $16 million a year to ABC? Maybe he was 15 years ago. He's not anymore.
Right.
And ABC wants out.
It's the same thing that happened, I said it before, with Letterman. When you turned political, the people are out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they're turning into late night comedy for.
Absolutely. So true. And
we want to see Burt Reynolds hawking his new movie.
Yeah.
We want to see Dom DeLuise being made fun of and laughing. And we don't want to see you spewing hatred.
Right. I'm curious as to how long Kimmel lasts now.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be. I don't think we'll have a Jimmy Kimmel live show
June
beyond Christmas.
Oh, you think it'll? See, his contract is up in May.
Well, they may pull him before then and just pay him off to go away.
Right.
I think I think by the time we get to spring sweeps, he's gone. Something else is in that time slot.
And he, again, blaming Trump.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, I don't have ratings. And then he said, well, I do tonight.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, well, yeah, enjoy them.
Yeah.
Enjoy them from last night.
Because they're going to plummet tonight, my friend.
Because they won't be back.
Mm-mm.
Well, thank you for putting up through that. What do you think? Let us know on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Too little, too late? Did you think he was contritious enough? You know, we're just kind of curious.
Nobody watched, probably.
No, yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah.
Coming up later this morning, Logan Lewis is going to talk Red River Revel with us and House Speaker Mike Johnson this morning. He's in town for a luncheon. He's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
I should get a raise. I should get combat pay.
Yeah. Workers' comp or something, isn't it? Something.
I'm traumatized.
Yeah.
Having to listen to that.
Oh, boy. I know. I watched it this morning early when I woke up.
Did you watch the whole 28 minutes or whatnot?
Whatever it was, yeah. And I just wanted to see, is there going to be an apology? Is there going to be a oopsie, you know, a little contrition? There was a tiny bit. But I, you know, he dug and dug and dug because he plays a clip of Trump talking about we have to have free speech in this country from, you know, mm-hmm. 8 years ago or whatever.
Right.
And I thought he dug for that. And then when he did the escalator where Trump had the trouble with the escalator going up at the UN.
I missed that.
And he said, why couldn't we have had trouble with an escalator 10 years ago when he was coming down?
Right.
You know,
right.
And I thought, okay, whatever. Just be funny. That's all we want. Well, I don't even watch you anymore. I don't watch late night TV anymore because it took too far a turn. And who wants to hear that? I just want to laugh. I want to have fun.
Sometimes you want to forget all that crap.
Yeah. And that's the problem. I think these old cats like him, they forget that this political talk stuff is everywhere.
Right.
I can get it everywhere. I can get it on YouTube. I can get it on my cable. I can get it on, you know, on my phone. I don't want it. What I want you for is just to make me laugh and relax and help me have a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to listen. If I want to listen to all that political schnozzle, I know where to go for it.
Yeah.
And you ain't the place. And you ain't the expert. You want to think you are, but you're not.
That's why I go to Mayberry. Or right now I'm going to London at mm-hmm. Ted Lasso. Going
yeah.
back through Ted Lasso.
Right.
Getting ready for season 4.
I'm golden girling right now.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that terrible? That's terrible. Edit that out, Ruben.
Yeah.
Can we please? I don't want to admit
I've never seen that show. I've never seen an episode of Golden Girls. I know. You're going to throw something at me? Never seen an episode.
It's funny. It's really funny.
I'm sure it is. It was on the air, and it's an iconic show.
It is. It's an iconic show. It's a beautiful show. And if you just want to laugh, now I know a lot of people don't like Bea Arthur, but she was perfect. And of course, Betty White. There's nobody better.
Maud, wasn't she Maud?
Yeah.
Bea Arthur was Maud.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spinoff from All in the Family.
All in the Family.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Big day today. We got the Speaker of the House joining us in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Going to talk some Revel in the 7 o'clock hour.
Yep.
Got a great morning lined up. Stay with us. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
All more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
FM, 710keel. Mike and McCarty. Boy, the shrimp industry is having some problems right now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of restaurants in North Louisiana, mostly over in Ruston in the Monroe area,
mm-hmm.
got busted.
Uh-oh.
they're selling imported shrimp, which is not in and of itself illegal.
But you got to tell us.
But they're not disclosing it at all. Mm-hmm. There's no signage going, this is, and some even say it's Gulf shrimp, and it isn't. Oh. And this company, Aaron, is doing DNA testing on the shrimp.
Wow. That's incredible.
To determine, yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is from China. This is not from the Gulf.
Right. Oh, you got to know.
A lot of the imported shrimp now is being recalled from radioactivity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, good gosh.
Yeah.
And then we saw a story last night. This screw worm. Have you heard about this in the cattle?
No.
Oh, it's disgusting. And it's affecting cattle and beef. And my wife was walking out with one of the dogs, and she goes, "Well, say goodbye to beef because I'm not buying any right now."
Yeah. I'm out. No. I'm with you.
Oh, it's just
disgusting.
So gross.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up after the break, you said we're going to talk Shreveport justice.
Yeah, we know more about 50 Cent's plans now.
And shows that are going to be done here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. We'll talk about that coming up. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on that free Kiel app.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
I am seeing promos with Curtis Jackson, 50, on Fox News.
Yeah.
This new show that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be, I guess, on Fox Nation.
Right.
Which is Fox's streaming news platform.
Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of things in the works, and we heard some tidbits yesterday because the city council did approve the economic development district for downtown.
Right.
It's really just properties he owns from Millennium Studios down to Stageworks and the Red River District. There are a few other, the city owns, of course, Stageworks and the Millennium.
It looks like a gerrymandered congressional district.
Yeah, it kind of does. It kind of does.
If you look at it on a map.
But the goal was, and his team pitched it to the city and said, look, he's investing $50 million into the downtown area, and he would like to have this district in place so that the money's generated. Once there are businesses up and going and that are collecting an additional 2% tax, which is what will happen,
mm-hmm.
that tax money can then be used for economic development to bring other businesses to town.
Now, you asked yesterday, does that 2% have to go back into that business, or can it go into the district? Did it go into downtown?
Mm-hmm.
Did they answer that?
They did, and I was reading deeply into the ordinance, and it is to be used for economic development in the downtown area.
Which is what I said yesterday.
So it can be used to entice other businesses. It can be used to help possibly struggling businesses. Now, the problem with that is, how's it going to be administered? Who's going to be in charge of making those decisions? And it will be a 7-member board that those names will be submitted by the mayor and the council will confirm. And then that board will determine how the money is spent. And on what projects the money is spent. So there is some oversight by both the mayor and the council. So it's not going to just be, oh, we're just going to give 50 Cent an extra check every quarter. You know, he's going to get mm-hmm. he's going to get all this money to do it. They're going to have to show that it's being used for economic development purposes.
Right.
And it may be used on properties he's upgrading. You know, he's like, hey, I got to put a new AC in this building. Help me with it. And they could do that. But I think the overall goal should be, let's entice others to invest too.
And bring in even more business.
You bet.
Right.
If you get another fish on the hook, bring them in. Help them with the projects they want to do. But we did, while we were listening, we heard the age-old question, when are we going to start seeing filming?
Right.
And he had an executive there, Temple Williams, got before the council, and he said he expects to see filming in Shreveport by the end of this quarter or the first quarter of next year.
But that's going to be at Stageworks.
That's right, because Millennium is still flooding problems there. And they're working on solving
that. It seems like it's one thing after another for Millennium Studios development.
Trying to solve that flooding problem at Millennium.
They're waiting on the state for, it seems like, years.
Right.
And then it's construction delay. Now it's flooding.
Yep. And it's a problem. And they're trying to mitigate that and fix that problem. But we also heard him say StageWorks could be used for a show they're talking about that would involve a live studio audience, which sounds intriguing. You could set that up inside StageWorks. And then he also mentioned a show called Shreveport Justice, which he says we're working on deals with the sheriff and with SPD and with the agencies that police our bayous and waterways that would be filmed out in locations. It sounds like a kind of a cops type show. You'd ride along with the cops and do what they watch what they do and film the arrests and all that. So it sounds like a kind of a pretty interesting show, which would obviously air on Fox Nation.
Fox Nation, because
they're running those kinds of shows. So we did get a little inside peek into what's coming and how soon. So we're looking at about within the next 6 months, because that original lease for Millennium, it was a 180 days we'll have filming. Well, we're 2 years in now. So it didn't happen. A lot of people are griping about that. Like, what's the problem? Well, now we do have a definitive date and timeline.
And when you go back to his original presentation and you look at the artist's renderings of the Millennium Studios, I'm like, let's get this.
Yes.
Let's get this going in downtown Shreveport.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, he's still planning the Humor and Harmony for March. So we'll be seeing some action on that here pretty soon,
and
too.
Planning at Independence Stadium, right?
Part of it will be at Independence Stadium. He's building, they're proposing a sphere, a dome-type structure at that same site.
A permanent structure.
Well, we haven't heard the answer to that yet. Is it going to be permanent or not? No permits have been taken out. I've been watching that. So if it's
going to
be...
we were told it was going to be a Las Vegas-type video sphere.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see.
And we will.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, we're going to talk Red River Revel with Revel Director Logan Lewis just after the news at 7. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Back with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I ain't falling for your stuff today.
I'm glad we don't have cameras up in here anymore.
I do want to say, I'm glad you mentioned that off the air. I did go see a doctor yesterday for some, it's a new doctor for me. It's routine.
Okay.
This was a routine checkup to go through, you know, what's going on and all that. And I'm telling you, and I'm not going to name names. She'll know, her office staff will know who they are. I was so pleasantly surprised. Usually under today's world, doctors are rushed, and they come in, or you see the PA, or you don't see. This doctor was, I mean, she simply was amazing, and she took probably an hour with me, and we literally went from poop to nuts.
As the guy sitting in the room next door to you, I hate you.
Well, I know.
Hey, waiting on the doctor?
But the nurses told me she plots out an hour for new patients.
Okay.
And she puts that in her schedule. So we literally went over everything that I need to be doing. Like, I can't sit in this room any longer for the 3 or 4 hours and not get up and go to the bathroom. I have to go to the bathroom twice during the show so that I get my bladder going so I can drink water earlier in the day. I mean, lots of things. But I love that. I love having a doctor who's, you know, even the little stupid little things that you need to be peeing more in the morning. I'm like, okay, I can do that.
I've heard a report not too long ago that says for people, and I've heard men make jokes usually as they get older, never pass up an opportunity to go to, if you see a bathroom.
Yes.
Never pass.
Yes.
But then I've heard you're training your bladder to go more often. You should hold it a little more.
My problem
is
that
you're saying now you should go more.
Well, that because she wants me drinking water earlier in the day.
Bacon.
But I do want to tell you real quickly, because I went to a doctor a few weeks ago and I did need to get a pain medication. And the doctor prescribed a 7-day supply. And so I go get it at Drug Emporium, which is my drug place of choice. And it was $2.
Okay.
So I got the medication re-upped later by a different doctor. And I go there. And she goes, it's $25. And I went, a week ago, it was $2. What's happened?
Right, that's quite the jump.
Well, it's insurance, folks. It's such a mess. The insurance company only allows a 7-day supply. The new prescription was a 20-day supply. So I'm like, so my doctor could have prescribed 3 7-day supplies and it would have been covered differently. They have to cater
it's
to
absurd.
So much. The insurance hoops they have to jump through.
Yes, it's almost
are
criminal.
So ridiculous. And it's not to our benefit.
No, I went in and they said, the pharmacist said, well, you're according to insurance, you're not due for another week and a half. I went, well, I'm out. So
right.
What do you do?
What do I do? Just tolerate it? Unbelievable. So,
we're so old.
I know. It's so
my
bad.
My gout medicine now.
Don't talk about my gout. I do have a sore toe today. And I wake up with a broken thumb. How does that happen?
You just woke up. It wasn't broken when you went to bed.
No, it feels like my thumb is broken. How does that happen? I don't know. Oh, Ruben, don't get old.
I did pull a groin muscle. Now, this is 30 years ago, so I was a young man getting out of bed. I was trying to sneak out of bed with my daughter because she was falling asleep.
sucks to get old.
Logan Lewis, director of the Red River Revel, joining us after the news. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Well, it's our absolute favorite event of the year. My wife and I, we dated at the Revel when it was two artist booths and a corn dog stand in front of Barnwell Garden and Art Center.
Oh, man.
Years and years ago, and so excited that it's back again. Red River director, Revel director, Logan Lewis, joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Logan, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for jumping on with us. So excited. One of our favorite events. First of all, let's talk about the changes this year. Let's get that out of the way. We're now going on Thursdays through Sundays for 2 weekends. Tell us about that and why this decision was made.
So this is something that we've been working on for 2 years now, actually, and kind of going through the steps of how would this change things. But, you know, for so many years, the Revel would open on a Saturday and then go for you know, 9 consecutive days. And we noticed a couple of things doing that. One is that, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday were kind of slow. But also, you know, you're opening on a Saturday and you're watching a Thursday and Friday pass you by and go, these are really pretty good days for us when we have one of each of them. So we like to think of it as, you know, dropping Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to pick up a Thursday and a Friday. So it's still 8 days instead of 9, but those 8 days are high volume days. And, you know, talking to the artists, they were at first kind of had to think about it some, but really actually have been very positive and are looking forward to it. Just having a break in between will allow them time to restock and resupply. And instead of having, for those who, you know, did like a half of the festival, you know, we've always had about half of our artists swap out. Mm-hmm. They don't have to swap out on Wednesday night, you know, mm-hmm. one artist moving out and another in over the course of about 13 hours. They now have a full day to move out and 2 full days to move in. And so it really just, when you look at it across the board, allowed us a lot more flexibility to change things up between the weekends and just be more convenient for people based on just what their standard trends are. And we still have those 4 great weekdays, you know, for businesses to come downtown. It's just 4 days instead of 5. And those days, typically, you know, you're thinking about going out for office lunch more often on those Thursdays and Fridays. So it just made a lot of sense, I think, and we're excited about those changes.
You say that, and that's a great way to look. I appreciate you saying that. It's still 8 days It was not. So you're really only losing one day as far as your original schedule, but then you're gaining better days. That's a great. Correct. Congratulations. That's a great decision.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Opening tomorrow at 11 a.m. Is that right?
That it's opening on Thursday at 11 a.m. Yeah, we're barreling towards it. We're gonna be working through the rain today to get it open, and hopefully, you know, that rain will bring us what we really want, which is great weather for that second line with the mayor tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Well, and you talk about working through the rain today, that rain moving out late this afternoon, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, less than a 7% chance of rain all those days in the 80s. Yeah, congratulations. Looks like you've got a great opening weekend in store for you.
That's the way we like it. Yeah, that's when you know it's revel time, is when the weather starts to break and the days get a little bit, just a little bit shorter. But, you know, the things that people are looking forward to, obviously, are the great artists. I mean, we have, I think, 23 new ones this year coming from 9 different states.
I want to mention that, too, because, I have for years used the Revel for my Christmas shopping, because you can get unique gifts that are one of a kind that you're not, I mean, it's not going to go be something you get at Walmart or Target. It's going to be something special for those special people in your lives. And don't miss that opportunity, right?
That's exactly right. And you're smart for doing that. I know many people that do that. You know, one thing I'll also like to point out as far as a change this year, we haven't really highlighted it enough of, is the changes to our wristbands and how people pay for their food and drinks. And, you know, we did go to the wristbands last year only and got rid of actually having the paper coupons, but we still thought about it as digital coupons. There's no more coupons. We have a new technology this year that allows people to just link their card with a security pin to their wristband. You don't have to add money to it. You don't have to have a balance you're worried about running down or how much money do I have left on this thing. You simply pay for what you order. Basically, you link your card, you put nothing on it, there's no transaction, but when you buy funnel cake or you buy a Pepsi, that's when you'll be charged for, and that is the only thing you'll be charged for. It's great. It's going to be a really cool technology to have this year.
I still have my wristband from last year, the yellow electronic band. Is that good for this year?
So this is a different vendor altogether.
Okay.
So you'll still need to do that part of linking your card, but it literally takes, Mike, it takes like maybe 30 seconds.
Sure.
There's no time. And then after you go to that booth the first time and you do that process once, you never have to go back to the booth ever again. So no more standing in two lines just to get one more thing to eat. We're super excited about that.
But did you say I can still use that band, or I need to get a new band for this year because it's a new vendor?
You do need to get a new band.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Let's talk about the musical, some of the musical lineup.
Oh, gosh. This year is probably the most Louisiana forward musical lineup that we've had in a long, long time. You know, of course, we have Galactic, Jay and the Causeways, a lot of bands from New Orleans and Shreveport. If you look at the lineup as a whole, I think there's 85, maybe 86 different performing slots.
Wow.
And of that, 77 of them are from artists who are based in or from originally from Louisiana. So, you know, it's supposed to be familiar. It's supposed to look like our festival. You know, the Revel is unique. We created it here in Shreveport. It's not like anything else in the world. And so, you know, we really wanted to reflect the culture that we have here in Northwest Louisiana. So that's that. If you look at the lineup online, you can actually click on that, and any of the artists that are there, you can click on that artist and see videos, links. You know, there's lots of information there to see.
Still have the kids area with the little grocery store and the face painting and the dig and all that good. Such memories for me and my children.
Absolutely. The kids area, we've expanded, I think, two or three years ago, back down into that parking lot by Sideport. Still have the Brookshire's mini grocery, the mock dig. We've added a couple of things this year, brought the big tent back with all of course, the performances. There's going to be an 18 and under micro festival that's going to happen on the second Saturday, where there's only 18 and under bands on that stage.
Cool.
And we actually have the funnel cake vendor is going down there to do funnel cakes and chicken fingers, as well as being at the top too. So there'll be some food options there. If you just can't make it to the top and you really got to have that funnel cake fix, you can do that down there.
I heard, oh brother,
two locations.
Opossum, Where Art Thou is going to be playing in the kids area this year.
No chance.
No.
Listen, I like to take a lot of chances, and I love to do things different, but I think that one might be a bridge a little bit too far for the kids area.
Yeah,
well, let's talk. Always open to new things.
Let's talk Revel food.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. So 20 food vendors this year. I mean, I think that's the most we've had, at least since I've been here. And, you know, I was thinking about this not too long ago. It's kind of interesting. I saw a photo from about 2005, you know, and you look across all the booths, and each booth has, you know, their one big thing that they do. You know, there's fried fish and there's barbecue, and typically it's one, maybe two items at each booth. Right now, our 20 food vendors have, you know, at least 7 or 8 items each. There's more than 200 items on the menu. It's really impressive when you think about the scale of the menu. It's the largest food court you're going to find within 200 miles. That happens, a pop-up just right there in downtown Shreveport with lots of parking. I mean, you can't beat it. There's, of course, the staples that you want to see, like, you know, the funnel cake and the barbecue. But there's some new vendors in there. We actually have some vegan options this year. There's fresh fruit, you know, taquerias. I think that it just runs the gamut of the food that we have here in our culture. And so we're pumped about that part too, because you can definitely work up your appetite coming down and watching all that music and looking at the art.
Well, Logan, save me a funnel cake, please. I'll be down there.
You bet.
Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks so much.
You're busy. Thank you, Logan. We appreciate your time this morning.
Yep. Have a great day. See you down there.
Revel opening 11 a.m. tomorrow at Festival Plaza. Our very own House Speaker Mike Johnson going to be joining us a special time at 8:15. His schedule is so tight. We're so grateful he worked us in.
Right.
So at 8:15 next hour, we'll be talking with him.
And we're going to talk with Richard Llewellyn from the Weather Channel in about 20 minutes. When is this storm arriving? When's it going to get out of here? Everybody with the Revel wants to know that. So he will explain that to us coming up.
Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Wake up down there.
Sorry. Where are you? I'm off in my own little world, aren't I? Wow, and I didn't even get up and wander the hallways.
No, you didn't.
I'm so excited about the Revel.
I know.
And I appreciate what Logan said last segment. We had Logan Lewis on, if you missed it, talking about he's the director of the Revel. They really only dropped, if you will, one day.
Right.
Out of the run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... So they still have 8 days, and they're 8 prime days now.
Yes.
Because it opens tomorrow at 11 a.m., so you can still go down and have lunch on Thursdays and Fridays.
They got bands scheduled on to hit the stage at 11, so yeah.
They're just not going to be, he said they used to run 9 days straight, opening on a Saturday. He said, well, we're losing Thursday and Friday. So... That's a great move.
Yeah.
I think that's a good move, and it'll serve them well.
I do like that. I'm excited about it. I really am. It's one of our best festivals of all time. It really is. It's exciting.
And I wasn't kidding when I said my wife, we've been married 40 years, and we dated going to the Revel.
Wow.
And it really was like, you know, 3 or 4 artist stands and a corn dog stand going along Clyde Fant Parkway there in front of what was the Barnwell, now the Shreveport Aquarium.
Yes.
And have loved it, and maybe on stage and a guy playing a banjo or something, you know.
And it was for me and my boys, it was, if you both got green stars when I picked you up from school at 3 o'clock, if you both were on green, we were going to the Revel. Every day, we'd go every day after school, and they'd get to go play in the Brookshire grocery store. They'd get to go dig, and they'd get their faces painted. I mean, it was So they both, Revel Week, they both made sure to behave at school. It was a good week for them.
Now, we do have some rain today, possible storms. Mm-hmm. We looked ahead toward the Revel weekend, opening weekend, and no problems. But we'll talk with Richard Lewelling from the Weather Channel and find out how long this rain's going to last. Mm-hmm. And is it going to drop the temperatures for the weekend?
Yeah.
About 10 minutes. Stay with us. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com.
Now breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Last hour, you were talking about you'd gone to the doctor yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of laughed in my head just about the conversation in general.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay.
I'm with you.
I used to think I was pretty cool. And maybe I was at one time. That was a long time ago.
Yes,
that was a long
exactly.
time ago. And now, Ruben, have you ever heard it's a slang phrase, and it's S-Y-B-A-U. I don't know.
S-Y-B-A-U.
Seabow, or not no. our senator, state
no.
senator. Bop.
I've heard bop.
Okay. Bop. They're bop.
What's that mean?
Someone seen as promiscuous.
Yeah.
Really?
Or presenting themselves online in an immodest way.
Okay.
Chuz.
Chuz.
I know chud, but not chuz.
Oh, what's chud?
Chud is a horrible old B movie about a monster that lives in the sewer.
Oh, the movie. Yeah. Okay, yeah. But this is a mashup of Chopped and Huzz.
What?
Ruben's laughing.
Ruben, it's edit this whole segment out.
It's an unattractive girl.
That is not nice.
Chopped is it's a go-to insult for anything ugly.
Oh, my goodness.
Or undesirable. Chopped. They're chopped.
Y'all are terrible.
But if you're mogging, that's a good thing. Ruben, okay. You know that one?
I've heard that one. I'm not 100% sure about it.
I'm mogging today.
Okay.
I got my nice pants on, my Keel shirt.
And what's the cyball thing?
Outclassing someone else by looks, skill, or status.
And what's the cyball thing?
It's one of those shorthands. Shut your BRs up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Got it. Oh.
These are some of the top slang searches in Louisiana.
Huh. Go figure.
And then there's some nationally, too. If you want to check that out, there's a story on keelnews.com.
Oh, my goodness.
Richard Lewelling with the Weather Channel next, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with Marty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, of course, Red River Revel opens tomorrow. We've got storms in the forecast today. How long will they last? Will they affect the temperatures? Richard Lewelling with the Weather Channel joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking. Tell us about today's storm. What can we expect?
Well, we can expect the heavy storms to stick with us here throughout the day today. It looks like rainfall amounts are going to range anywhere from about 1 to 2 inches across the area. And we're seeing that right now, especially up across the border in Arkansas, where there's flash flood warnings in Union, Columbia, and Lafayette counties in southwestern Arkansas through at least 10:15 this morning, where they've been dealing with some heavier rains. So Some of that rain is starting to edge down into the Shreveport Metro right now, and it's going to continue to work its way through. And we'll see these storms just kind of build across the area throughout the day today. But I think by late this afternoon, we get everything out of the way, and we set the stage for a beautiful weekend with warm temperatures and lots of sunshine, and that's going to be the trend all the way through next week. In fact, looks like the next 10 days after today are just going to be some warm, dry days returning to the forecast. So, you know, if you're looking for pumpkin spice anything, it's not going to feel much like pumpkin spice weather with this type of weather we're going to be dealing with. Temperatures 85 to 90 each day, lows at night in the 60s, just some spectacular weather coming up.
We are going to get a little cool off as this system moves through for today, though, right? Just a little bit?
Yeah, and that's mainly due to the fact that it's just cloud cover and shower activity helping to keep the atmosphere a little bit cooler today with this area of low pressure that's going to be sweeping through the area. Believe it or not, this low is going to move on over into the southeast, and it's going to actually help to deflect two storms that are sitting off of the Atlantic at this time. One's going to make a pretty close run at maybe the South Carolina and North Carolina coast with a possible strike of a hurricane late in the weekend in the next week. But this system's going to help to deflect that out, and I think that the U.S. is going to stay safe from a possible hurricane strike. But, you know, once we get this system out of the way, big dome of high pressure is going to set up for us here and just keep the beautiful weather going through the weekend in the next week.
Okay, the storm system that's moving in now, we've got some rain now. Anything severe? We heard some mention about hail, possibly strong storms. What are you looking at in terms of the severity of this?
Well, it looks like the severe weather threat is going to probably end up being a little bit further south of Shreveport today, the way things are looking. You know, it looks like the line for a marginal risk of severe weather basically runs from Shreveport southward. So, you know, if you're south and east of Shreveport, you got a little bit better chance of seeing some stronger thunderstorms. Damaging winds and heavy rain are going to be the main concerns today. And, of course, there is a slight chance that we could see some flash flooding in some of the storms. In fact, the entire Arklatex has that chance of seeing the possibility of some of that just due to the fact that we're going to probably pick up 1 to 2 inches of rain in a short period of time. And with the ground relatively dry here as of late, you know, the water just going to pile up, and it's going to take a while for some of that water to go down.
As we look forward, Richard, we know the Rebels got great weather this weekend, and as I'm looking at the extended next weekend as well, I'm just kind of curious, and I didn't prep you on this. State Fair of Louisiana is coming in later next month, or in about the middle of next month. They always seem to get rained just for a week at a time. Can you see what, in the extended forecast, what that might look like in the middle of next month?
You know, I wouldn't hang my hat on anything right now, but I mean, if I was, you know, looking at these trends that I'm seeing right now, it's probably going to end up being more of the same as what we're going to be looking at here. There's really nothing that really, you know, tells me that there's going to be any significant change in our weather. You know, right now, the jet stream is well to the north. It's way up in Canada right now and helping to keep, you know, much of the cooler weather and the fall weather well to the north of the U.S. Canadian border at this time. So we really don't see any cool air intrusions coming in or any systems that would really impact our weather. Nothing in the tropics that would really give us any signs of concern as we look on out into the long range. I think we're just going to be dealing with more of the same, just tranquil weather that's going to go all the way out.
Yeah, because we've got 80s and 90s all the way through the middle of next month.
Yeah, this is not pumpkin spice season. This is gumbo season right now. You know, so
Aaron loves pumpkin spice.
Yeah, just go find you a cup of gumbo someplace because that's about all it's going to be, because just warm temperatures and just more summer weather in the forecast ahead.
Is this pretty typical to still be in the 90s, you know, at the end of September, or is this seasonally warmer?
Well, it's just, you know, we're a little bit above average. This is nothing really out of the ordinary for us. You know, this is late September, early October. We still got, you know, much of October is going to be warm. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
You know, we really won't start cooling off until we get past Halloween, the way things are looking right now. So, you know, I think it's just going to be more of the same for at least another month.
Santa's going to be sweating on my porch at Halloween. Richard, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. Have a great weekend. Mike and McCarty. Mike Johnson joining us next hour. It's in flux a little bit, but he's going to be joining us. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I was going to head out of town this weekend, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Too much going on.
Yes.
Revel opens tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
LSU, 2:30 game.
Oh, yeah.
Ole Miss.
We got to win that one. It's a big one.
That's going to be a determining factor.
Mm-hmm. Because I think we beat Alabama this year. We got to beat Ole Miss. We got to beat A&M. Those are the two that I'm a little bit worried about.
Right.
So after that, I think we beat Alabama. I really do.
Alabama's not shown much.
No, not much at all. Not much at all.
So, yeah.
Exciting. And then could the Saints possibly win this weekend?
Are they playing Cope Middle School?
Oh, ow. They looked bad.
I asked Fletch the other day. I said, Is Kellen Moore not the guy? Is it a rebuilding year? He goes, no, it's they don't have anybody.
Yeah.
They've got Kamara, of course, Cam Jordan, and he's got some experience, and he's a little long in the tooth, but he came out the other day showing, oh, he's still got every step.
Right, right.
And DeMario Davis, we don't have a quarterback. We don't have an offense.
It's depressing to know we're going to go through the season like this.
Yeah.
We don't have any prospects of anything changing, and I don't know.
Not unless they get somebody in the transfer portal.
Don't know if that's going to happen. Not sure about that one.
As far as under center.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Mike Johnson going to be joining us. He's got a lot of things going on. He's very busy, and we had him scheduled for 8:15, but they've bumped it a little bit. So we're hoping around 8:20 or so.
Somewhere in there, yes.
And somewhere in there. And looking forward to talking to him. There's a lot going on. President Trump, the Democrats are threatening to shut down the government. I remember what Rush used to say about that.
Let them do it.
Do it.
Do it. Shut it down.
You guys can't screw it up if you're not there.
Right. Shut her down. Yeah.
But Trump released on Truth Social that he says he doesn't even think a meeting will be beneficial.
Mm-mm. He canceled their meeting. He said
they're looking
it's
at $1 trillion in spending that they want back. And so we'll get Mike Johnson's take on that. We'll also talk about, the Jimmy Kimmel and free speech issue. Is this a free speech issue?
Mm.
I'm saying it's not.
You think Mike stayed up and watched old Kimmel last night? I bet no.
I was going to say, if I were to ask to bet on that, I'd say no.
Don't think he did.
No.
He's probably heard all about it by now. But, you know, I want to ask him. My problem is the FCC guy.
Yes.
What if a Biden FCC guy said that to Rush Limbaugh back in the day?
Sure.
People would have freaked out. You can't have it, but you know, if you're gonna have it this way, you got to be prepared to have it the other way.
So Mike Johnson's coming up after the news, top of the hour. Turn on your headlights in the rain. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty. On 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Got House Speaker Mike Johnson going to be joining us here in about 10 minutes or so. Stay with us. Shreveport City Council yesterday, they had the meeting, a regular meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Today is Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Why does it feel later in the week to me?
I know, it's bizarre.
It is bizarre. But they did pass the 50-cent economic development district.
Right.
Explain what that is.
Okay. It is a special district. It's not a TIF, but it is a special designated district that includes the property from Millennium Studios down Texas to the Red River District, and it includes stage works. It essentially is the property that 50 Cent or the city of Shreveport owns.
Leasing to 50 Cent.
Yes, and right. Leasing to him, exactly. And what it'll allow for is an increase in the sales tax in that district only, not in all of downtown.
Okay.
In that district only of 2%. So a 2% sales tax increase for anything purchased at a business in that area. Right now, there's not a whole lot of them mm-hmm. open in that district, but 50 Cent asked for this district because he said, look, once I start opening businesses, I'm spending about $50 million to redevelop this downtown area. And once I start opening businesses, I would like to have this tax increase so that the money generated from it can go back into economic development for that area.
Now, does the economic district include the entire riverfront district?
It includes, you can see the map at keelnews.com. It's only like some of the properties along Commerce Street that he's purchased. It includes the Red River District, the bulk of it, I believe.
Like Fatty's and that, or is it
I don't think Fatty's is included. I don't think it's included in it. But I may be wrong about that. Look at the map on our website, okay. And you can see exactly right. What's included. But the money then, because I had questions about how the money's going to be spent and who determines how the money is spent. And the ordinance says the money shall be used for economic development projects in the area. And there'll be a 7-member board that will determine how the money is spent. And that board will be nominated by the mayor. I think there are a couple of designees, like the DDA, the president of the DDA board will be one of the members. NLEP will also pick a member. So those are some of the things that are in the works now. And then it will move forward, and then they'll decide how the tax dollars can be spent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what makes this different from a TIF?
I don't
know. I'm throwing
know.
You on the spot
I don't
here.
Know.
I'm sorry.
I can't describe that to you. I wouldn't be able, I would do it wrong. So somebody with more knowledge about that can explain it to us. But it is different, and it will be something that they will be. Do we have the speaker ready?
Is he on?
I believe he is. I've got his guy on hold right now.
Okay, cool. Well, let's take our break.
Let's take a break, and we'll be back. Mike Johnson, House Speaker, joining us. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, our good friend, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, joining us. Speaker, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Well, we're doing very well. We know your time is very tight, so let me just ask you first of all, this whole thing with Jimmy Kimmel being taken off the air, they're positioning it as a free speech issue, saying the government is trying to shut them down. That's not the case, is it?
That's nonsense. These are free market principles at play. Jimmy's ratings have dropped precipitously, and I think he was losing money for the studio. ABC is a private company. They can hire and fire whomever they want. Mm-hmm. And if he says something that is not in accordance with the brand that they want to project to the world, then they were within their rights. So this is not a First Amendment issue. That's the government that is not supposed to censor and silence you. But by the way, Mike, before we leave the subject, remember yesterday, YouTube finally admitted what we all have known has been the case. The Biden administration, during that 4 years, they encouraged all the social media platforms to censor and silence conservatives. It's Jimmy Kimmel's side that is guilty to this, not the other.
Well, one thing, though, that did disturb me is the commissioner of the FCC did make comments about going after Jimmy Kimmel, saying it wasn't in the public interest. I didn't like those comments.
Yeah, look, Brendan Carr is the individual who said those words, and people have parsed a lot of what he said. I think what he was suggesting there is that, you know, the broadcast networks do have a certain degree of responsibility. It's supposed to be in the public's interest. That's the way the law works. And he was suggesting that, you know, making fun of or mocking the assassination of a young father and husband because he was engaging in free speech is not a good look. And it's something that, you know, regulators should consider probably. I mean, I'm not sure that's so far out of bounds. But look, all of this has been rectified. I think it's been a good lesson and reminder for people and the principles of free speech, and that the government has a role to play. But the free marketplace should decide these things, and I think it has.
And you made a very important distinction. It's broadcast networks. And unlike right. Jasmine Crockett, that doesn't understand, Fox News is not a broadcast network. Cable don't operate under the same restrictions as under the FCC.
Right. There's a lot of things that Jasmine Crockett doesn't understand. Okay. but that's right. And there are legal standards and there are constitutional principles at play. And it behooves certainly the elected members of Congress to understand those distinctions so they can help people sort through all this.
Mike, shifting gears, I remember the days when Rush Limbaugh, when we were talking government shutdowns, and Limbaugh would say, shut it down. That means you can't screw up. Where are we on keeping government funding and keeping government going? The Democrats are really fighting you.
Yeah, they're fighting for no reason. Let me just tell you quickly where we are. Republicans and I have been committed since I became Speaker to restoring regular order in the appropriations process. Why? Because that is how we ensure good stewardship of taxpayer funds. So it's like pushing a boulder uphill, Aaron, but we've been able to do that. We've gotten the Congress working again. We passed all 12 separate appropriations bills through our Appropriations Committee in the House on a bipartisan basis, by the way. We passed three off the House floor, and we're beginning conference negotiations on those three bills with the Senate because theirs differ a little bit. That hasn't happened since 2019, where the two chambers actually engaged to do that work. The problem is we're running out of clock because the end of the fiscal year is September 30th. So to keep the lights on and keep all these important negotiations going, we drafted a very simple 24-page, what we say, clean, short-term, seven-week, continuing resolution to get the job done. And guess what Chuck Schumer and the Democrats did? They, instead of going along with that to allow the process to work, they issued this quote-unquote counteroffer, okay, that says, oh, no, we don't just want to keep the government open. We want you to reinstate free health care for illegal aliens paid for by American taxpayers. We want you to add $500 million to prop up liberal news outlets. We want you to cut $50 billion from rural hospitals in America. I mean, all this crazy stuff, y'all. A massive $1.5 trillion in new spending they wanted to tack on to a simple seven-week funding bill to keep the appropriations process going. So not to get too deep in the weeds, but let me just say it simply. All of that is nonsense. There's no way that we could agree to any of that, and we won't, and the Democrats know it. So they're trying to force a shutdown. And if they do it, they're going to own the consequences.
So when does this come back up for vote? What's the procedure now?
Well, we passed it out of the House and sent it over to the Senate, and it failed in the Senate because Schumer would not release Democrats to vote. Remember, you got to get 60 votes in the Senate, and they've only got 53 Republicans. Mm. So I talked to Leader Thune. He leads the Senate over there last night, and he's going to bring it up again when they get back. September 29th and 30th, he'll keep bringing it up and give them another chance to do the right thing. We certainly hope they will. I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't understand what their play is. But we're going to keep doing the job and doing it in a responsible manner and doing well by taxpayers. And Chuck Schumer is going to engage in this nonsense. He's going to own the consequences if it shuts down.
I saw a piece this morning when I was putting my news together saying the president had, quote, chickened out of a meeting with the Democrats. You would classify it as a little differently, wouldn't you?
It's a joke. So Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, who leads the Democrats in the House, have painted themselves into a corner. They realize how absurd the situation is, and they have no way out of it. So what they're trying to do is shift some of the blame onto the president. They should not need a meeting with the president of the United States to do their jobs and fund the government. And the president's exactly right. He and I talked about it at length yesterday and the day before. And I said, look, when they get their job done, once they do the basic governing work of keeping the government open, Mr. President, then you can have a meeting with them, of course. It might be productive at that point. But right now, this is just a waste of his time. The president's a little bit busy right now. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have time to play referee for Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries and their work in the House and the Senate. So I think that meeting happens later, but not before this deadline. And they've got to get their work done.
We're talking with House Speaker Mike Johnson. Mike, I know you knew personally Charlie Kirk. You were friends with Charlie in the tragic situation that took place there. We're in a position in this country that we've never been in. There's been political violence before, but the divisiveness that we are now, I know the answer. I know you know the answer. How do you communicate? How do we get to the away from this and start bringing the country back together?
Yeah. Sorry for the sirens in the background. That's my motorcade going through Freeport. So
that literally is for you.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm in my truck, and
That's so cool.
I know the motorcade moving through Shreveport right now.
Yeah, right. Look, let me just say this about Charlie. That memorial event in Arizona was just an incredible event. And Kelly and I got to fly with the president to there on Air Force One, and we did the whole thing. And on the way back, the president and I were talking about this. About Charlie and his approach, and I think it is the answer to your question. Charlie was a good friend of mine. We talked about this often, that, you know, he loved debate, but he loved people more. You know what I mean? So, I mean, Charlie was a vigorous debater, but he never got angry, and he was not motivated by hate. It was exactly the opposite, you know? And so the person on the other side of the table, even though he would defeat everybody in these arguments, disagreements. That was the point, is try to win them over to his side. He was the first person to reach out a hand of friendship, offer his yes. arm around the shoulder yes. of someone who he just debated, because it wasn't about the public policy principle. It was about the soul, as he said, of the person. And that's what Charlie was about. So he was motivated by love. There's a passage of scripture that he now both revered in the book of Romans. And it says, you know, you're to be courageous and bold and strong. And it says, act like men, but let everything you do be done in love. And that was what Charlie's legacy is. And that's the model. And I told all these guys, I spoke at four memorials so far for Charlie at the Kennedy Center. And we did one down at LSU before the football game against Florida. And, you know, just thousands of people all around the country following all this. And I said two things quickly. The best way you can honor the legacy of Charlie Kirk is to advance his principles and adopt his manner, adopt his approach. And I think if we do that, we honor what's best about America, about our country, about the foundational principles that put all this in place.
And what I deeply appreciate is the fact that he used politics, but he was unabashedly sharing his faith and professed Jesus Christ. And he was trying to reach these young men.
He was, and he did it as well as anyone ever has, because he knew how to speak directly to that. And, you know, look, Charlie was about current policy, current squabbles, current debates. But more than that, he was about the permanent things, you know, and that's another distinction I've been trying to make with everybody. You know, we get wrapped around the axle on these temporal issues. But as the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament, we focus on the eternal, not the temporal, right? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that's what it's about. And we do well to remember that, because what Charlie was trying to advance is the creed of America, the self-evident truth that it says in the Declaration, that we're all made, created in God's image. We're all created equal. We have the same rights. And if you see one another as a creation made in the image of God, it changes your perspective. Don't look at people as your hated enemies. Look at them as your fellow created beings under God. And that's the premise of America. That's a premise that we're trying to continue. And that's what will keep us on the path to be the greatest, strongest, most free, most successful nation in the world.
And I love what I read. I can't take credit for it, but said Charlie Kirk was killed not holding a gun, not holding a knife, but holding a microphone.
Mm-hmm. So well said.
Exactly. Right. Well, no, your motorcade is moving. You're on a tight schedule. Thank you for squeezing us in. Mm-hmm. Love you deeply, and I'll see you later today.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Take care.
Thank you. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Micah McCarty. Coming up, by the way, the rain in the forecast today, storms in the forecast today. When will they move through? What does the weekend look like for the Red River Revel? Find out with Richard Lewelling from the Weather Channel right after the news, bottom of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Best stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
By the way, we talked about the new economic development district that has been approved by the city council. That basically properties owned by Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. But also, some more Curtis Jackson news. There's he's got a show coming out on Fox Nation, which is Fox's streaming platform. And there's one called Shreveport Justice.
Yes, yes.
This is pretty exciting.
Now, this is not filmed yet or anything. He's in negotiations, but it'll involve the sheriff's office, Caddo Sheriff, SPD, and the folks that patrol the local waterways. They're in negotiations for that. Now, that wouldn't be filmed specifically anywhere like at Stageworks or any set location. It would be throughout the community. I would imagine it'd be like Cops.
Like a Cops-type program?
Yeah, where you're riding along with the police as they're making arrests, and it would be Shreveport-centric, focused on Shreveport cases. I would love to watch that.
Really?
Oh,
you don't
my
think
gosh.
It's going to put us in a bad light?
Well,
more Ratchet City?
People love to watch that stuff.
Oh,
those
yeah.
shows are so
Cops
popular.
Cops has been on the air how many years?
Oh,
30
my gosh.
Years, I know, probably.
And what's that other one, Live PD or whatever they did? I know one of my sons got hooked on that, and his wife, too. They would watch that all the time. It was a big show
right.
where they go around in different cities. This one would be a Shreveport-focused show. They announced yesterday they're in negotiations. They're working on getting the deal done. I'm curious on those two. Do you pay? Like, does the sheriff get a check for doing that? Do they get paid for that?
Right. I don't know if that will be considered SAG work.
I don't know.
Screen Actors Guild, union work.
And what deputies get assigned to it? Is it going to be the vice squad with the SPD? I'm not sure. They're working all that out now. But that's exciting.
That's very cool.
Could have a locally done show based on local arrests.
Filming is going to start for shows in Stageworks.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want to know, when are we going to get Millennium Studios going?
Well, as they said during the meeting yesterday, the city council meeting, we still have flooding problems at Millennium. They still have water that's flooding into the building, and they've got, when there's heavy rains, they have water. And so, as Mr. Green said, it would be a crackhead move. I'm quoting him. It would be a crackhead move to put stuff in there when you know it's going to flood, and you're just going to have to move it back out.
We got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Says, now, wait a minute. The councilor is saying it would be a crackhead move to begin productions in a facility that floods. Are they saying it's been flooding before, during, and now after it was leased? Sounds like another crackhead excuse.
It's been flooding for a long time, definitely. And they're trying to figure out how to solve it and mitigate the problem. They're working on it. They hope they found a solution. We'll see.
We'll find out, and we will stay on top of it for you. Mike and McCarty, Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel, joining us right after the break, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Becker of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, of course, Red River Revel opens tomorrow. We've got storms in the forecast today. How long will they last? Will they affect the temperatures? Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking us about today's storm. What can we expect?
Well, we can expect the heavy storms to stick with us here throughout the day today. Looks like rainfall amounts are going to range anywhere from about 1 to 2 inches across the area. And we're seeing that right now, especially up across the border in Arkansas, where there's flash flood warnings in Union, Columbia, and Lafayette counties in southwestern Arkansas through at least 10:15 this morning, where they've been dealing with some heavier rains. Some of that rain is starting to edge down into the Shreveport Metro right now, and it's going to continue to work its way through. And we'll see these storms just kind of build across the area throughout the day today. But I think by late this afternoon, we get everything out of the way, and we set the stage for a beautiful weekend with warm temperatures and lots of sunshine. And that's going to be the trend all the way through next week. In fact, looks like the next 10 days after today are just going to be some warm, dry days returning to the forecast. So, you know, if you're looking for pumpkin spice anything, it's not going to feel much like pumpkin spice weather with this type of weather we're going to be dealing with. Temperatures 85 to 90 each day, lows at night in the 60s, just some spectacular weather coming up.
We are going to get a little cool off as this system moves through for today, though, right? Just a little bit?
Yeah, and that's mainly due to the fact that it's just cloud cover and shower activity helping to keep the atmosphere a little bit cooler today with this area of low pressure that's going to be sweeping through the area. Believe it or not, this low is going to move on over into the southeast, and it's going to actually help to deflect two storms that are sitting off of the Atlantic at this time. One's going to make a pretty close run at maybe the South Carolina and North Carolina coast with a possible strike of a hurricane late in the weekend in the next week. But this system's going to help to deflect that out, and I think that the U.S. is going to stay safe from a possible hurricane strike. But, you know, once we get this system out of the way, big dome of high pressure is going to set up for us here and just keep the beautiful weather going through the weekend and the next week.
Okay, the storm system that's moving in now, we've got some rain now. Anything severe? We heard some mention about hail, possibly strong storms. What are you looking at in terms of the severity of this?
Well, it looks like the severe weather threat is going to probably end up being a little bit further south of Shreveport today, the way things are looking. You know, it looks like the line for a marginal risk of severe weather basically runs from Shreveport southward. So, you know, if you're south and east of Shreveport, you got a little bit better chance of seeing some stronger thunderstorms. Damaging winds and heavy rain are going to be the main concerns today. And, of course, there is a slight chance that we could see some flash flooding in some of the storms. In fact, the entire Arklatex has that chance of seeing the possibility of some of that just due to the fact that we're going to probably pick up 1 to 2 inches of rain in a short period of time. And with the ground relatively dry here as of late, you know, the water just going to pile up, and it's going to take a while for some of that water to go down.
As we look forward, Richard, we know the Rebels got great weather this weekend, and as I'm looking at the extended next weekend as well, I'm just kind of curious, and I didn't prep you on this. State Fair of Louisiana is coming in later next month, or in about the middle of next month. They always seem to get rained just for a week at a time. Can you see what in the extended forecast what that might look like in the middle of next month?
You know, I wouldn't hang my hat on anything right now, but I mean, if I was, you know, looking at these trends that I'm seeing right now, it's probably going to end up being more of the same as what we're going to be looking at here. There's really nothing that really, you know, tells me that there's going to be any significant change in our weather. You know, right now, the jet stream is well to the north. It's way up in Canada right now and helping to keep, you know, much of the cooler and the fall weather well to the north of the U.S. Canadian border at this time. So we really don't see any cool air intrusions coming in or any systems that would really impact our weather. Nothing in the tropics that would really give us any signs of concern as we look on out into the long range. I think we're just going to be dealing with more of the same, just tranquil weather that's going to go all the way out.
Yeah, because we've got 80s and 90s all the way through the middle of next month.
Yeah, this is not pumpkin spice season. This is gumbo season right now. You know, so
Aaron,
you know,
loves pumpkin spice.
Yeah, just go find you a cup of gumbo someplace because that's about all it's going to be, because just warm temperatures and just more summer weather in the forecast ahead.
Is this pretty typical to still be in the 90s, you know, at the end of September, or is this seasonally warmer?
Well, it's just, you know, we're a little bit above average. This is nothing really out of the ordinary for us. You know, this is late September, early October. We still got, you know, much of October is going to be warm. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
You know, we really won't start cooling off until we get past Halloween, the way things are looking right now. So, you know, I think it's just going to be more of the same for at least another month.
Santa's going to be sweating on my porch at Halloween. Richard, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. Have a great weekend. Mike and McCarty.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
We talked earlier this morning about Kimmel being reinstated last night. You and I both watched the opening monologue.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I wasn't impressed, but I've never been impressed, so.
No.
But let me read you a tweet. And so here's a quote. And ABC, to their credit, didn't waste any time. They canceled her show today. I'm not a fan of censorship, but this wasn't about free speech. It was about consequences for saying something vile. You can say what you want, But networks don't have to pay you to say it. You can't just blame Ambien for that. Actions have consequences. Mm-hmm. And ABC made the right call.
Yeah, I know who said that.
That was a quote in 2018 from Jimmy Kimmel.
You bet.
About Roseanne Barr being taken off Roseanne.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Words come back, don't they? He played a lot of words from Trump last night on his show.
Right.
About Trump celebrating free speech. Well, let's play some of your own words from your past, definitely.
I don't want to hear them, quite frankly.
No, it really is sad. And, you know, he said it last night, ratings are going to be good tonight. Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
what
enjoy
about
them.
Now?
Yeah. Enjoy them for tonight, because this time next week, you're going to be back in the tank.
Yes, back in the tank. And
because
you know,
he's going to start his vitriol again.
Right.
He never did apologize.
No, he did not. He got a little emotional, you know, that's not what he meant, blah, 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 whatever.
Well, he lied again last night when he said he wasn't attributing it to a certain group. Well, he absolutely did.
Yes. And he should have come out and said, I was wrong.
Right.
The guy was not a MAGA supporter who killed Charlie Kirk. I was wrong. And, I've seen people that have on their social media who were blaming it on a MAGA supporter early on have come out and said, you know, I was wrong. He was a crazy man.
Right. Who acted on his own.
I respect that. And, you know, I have way more respect for you. If you find out you were wrong, say, I was wrong.
Yeah.
And come out and change your how you're framing it. But last night, I mean, it's Kimmel. I mean, he sucks. The truth be known, he sucks.
Yeah, he's not funny.
Not funny. Not a fan.
No.
He got up there. And what I didn't like about it most, because I watched it early this morning. I didn't stay up to watch it. I recorded it. I didn't like this butt kiss fest when he comes out. This standing ovation for 10 minutes.
Jimmy,
I'm like,
Jimmy.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Can you balance out your audience a little bit more? No, that wasn't going to happen.
No, of course
we knew
not.
That one. It was a love fest for Jimmy Kimmel. And I'm like, that's just ridiculous. Because we all know what the rest of the country thinks like. Maybe they don't think like that in California.
There's a reason that entire groups of stations, affiliate stations, have dropped you.
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see if they bring him back. Does Nexstar and Sinclair bring him back? I don't know. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But he's back here in Shreveport. And one funny joke was he said, I'm so sorry for preempting your celebrity family feud, which I took to heart because I like celebrity family feud way more than I like Jimmy Kimmel.
Even if I were up past 9 o'clock at night, I would not be watching Jimmy Kimmel.
No, never, never. The late night shows are done.
They're
toast.
Yeah. Unless you start something new.
Yes.
That goes back to old.
Mm-hmm. And the only one I really liked recently, who's the one who does the carpool karaoke?
Oh, James Corden.
I think that's hilarious. That is hilarious.
He turned out to be a turd, too,
yeah,
though.
He kind of is a turd. But to have Adele in the car next to you
singing
Adele, I'm like, that's pretty brilliant.
Or Paul McCartney?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty
Some
brilliant.
Pretty cool bits.
Yes.
And it was
cool.
Entertainment.
Yes.
Look what we're talking about in Remember.
Mm-hmm. I was singing along with them, definitely. Yeah. Wanting to be in the car with them.
Middle of the week. We're heading toward the weekend. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM. Revel Weekend, 710 Keel.